So we're going to have some instructions, so if you want to relax, make yourself comfortable, please feel free to. And just to say a little bit about posture to start. The encouragement is to explore the three postures in the hall. So you can either use sitting, either in a chair or on the floor, standing meditation. So if you feel that actually move into standing is going to be supportive, feel free to stand in the hall for any of the stillness meditation periods, but also lying down. And the encouragement is to find the posture that's going to enable you to find that balance between being alert, wakeful, but at the same time bring some ease and relaxation to the body. You're always trying to find that balance with your posture. So you're not being too rigid, too tense, but at the same time you're not being so relaxed that there's a dullness. So navigating that and exploring what posture is going to best support you with that. So the first day of retreat is very much a time of settling in and adjusting to a change of conditions. So that movement from our daily life, for many of us that may be a very busy and engaged, lots of responsibilities. For others of us it actually may be quite a quiet, more solitary life. And then we move into a retreat where we share the space with 40 odd more people. We're invited to silence, simplicity, to actually this movement towards stillness and quietening. And what we find in that movement of changing conditions is that it can actually bring up a certain amount of agitation, maybe dullness and tiredness, that sense of a different routine, the unfamiliarity, can just bring up some sense of anxiety. And we can often have a subtle expectation or a subtle desire to really make best use of the time we have here together. So this sense that actually I'm on retreat, my mind should quieten down immediately. But actually to be open to the fact that this isn't how things actually work out, that there is this time of settling and adjusting. And rather than rejecting that or meeting that with frustration, can we bring an interest to that? The opportunity to become familiar with the different habits of mind we have. How do we respond to, how do we react to changes in conditions? Where does our mind tend to go? Do we tend to move to the future, getting involved with a sense of anxious planning, trying to get that sense of control of everything that might happen in the future? Or does our mind tend to move back into the past, that sense of reliving and revisiting that story of if only I had, my life would be? How does it feel to be agitated, to meet tiredness? So really expecting this expecting this as part of that movement and change of conditions, that settling into being here on retreat, and bringing an attitude that's actually supportive in meeting this, an attitude of welcoming, of the opportunity to learn something about how we are in different circumstances, what our habits of mind are, particularly these habits of mind that are part of our daily life, but often in the busyness we don't notice in the same way. So we have this opportunity to really start to notice them. So some of the things that can really start to help us with this. The first, as Zohar mentioned in the little meditation we had last night, is this grounding, this movement of the attention down from being up here involved with our thoughts into the body, this connection with the earth as support. So using the contact points, so the feet or the lower legs, depending on your posture, on the ground, or the sitting bones, the buttocks on the chair, on the cushion, or it may be the hands resting on your thighs or on each other in your lap, as a way of actually connecting with the support of earth, an invitation to release and relax any tension, any holding in the body. But also as a ground of stability and balance. And this can be particularly helpful when we find ourselves becoming overwhelmed, either emotionally or maybe with difficulty in the body, to actually bring our attention to these points, which are often quite neutral for us, as a way of just connecting with that sense of stability and support that the ground, the earth, can give us. In the Zen tradition, they talk about sitting stable as a mountain. And this idea of really being grounded. And then from that ground, we can open the attention to the sense of the whole body sitting here, breathing. But if the body, as Zohar pointed out last night, is a difficult place to rest the attention due to pain or illness, maybe past trauma, opening the attention wider just to receive the sounds. There are sounds in the room, but also the sounds in the world outside. And again, for some people, this can also be a difficult way of anchoring our attention due to tinnitus. And if that's the case, then using something like the metta phrases as your anchor. That cultivation of kindness and care. But when you do go into a period of stillness practice, really being clear about what your anchor is. And just staying with that anchor, cultivating that anchor, rather than getting caught up in this possibility of just jumping around within the meditation and becoming rather confused and dull. But also remember, this is an anchor we're talking about. So we're not stopping the mind doing what it does. The mind thinks, the mind wanders off. The anchor is a way of actually noticing that movement, of catching that movement, and then just coming back. Coming back to ground, coming back to the anchor, coming back to the present moment. It's not a problem that our mind wanders. As soon as we notice, can we come back? But as we come back, can we notice how we come back? Do we come back in a rather aggressive way? Is it an underlying frustration, sense of judgment, that inner voice that may be telling us that we're not good enough at this, we're not doing it correctly, we can't do this properly? Can we release that tendency and actually see each moment that we notice we've wandered off, each moment that we return, is a moment of mindfulness? Is a moment to be appreciated. No matter how many times we wander, how many times the mind goes off the focus, the anchor, every time we come back is a time of mindfulness and a time of strengthening that possibility of being present, of being mindful. And in this process of grounding, of coming back again and again, can we gently start to put down what we don't need to be carrying? Again, with that attitude of invitation, of kindness, not trying to reject or get rid of, but just gently inviting a putting down of whatever it is we don't need to be carrying with us at this moment. So as possibly the most important part of setting the conditions for the retreat to deepen over the coming days is the cultivation of an attitude, the cultivation of how we relate to our experience. Do we reinforce that habitual tendency we have to push-pull with life, that struggle we have with life, where we have this movement of wanting to reject, to get rid of, to avoid what is difficult, what is uncomfortable, or to try to hold on to grab hold of, and to chase after those experiences which are more easeful, more pleasant, more delightful. And this continual movement back and forwards between rejecting and wanting. Can we start to release that and meet our experience with a friendly interest, with kindness, with an attitude of caring for and taking care of? With self-compassion, but also an attitude of welcoming, of allowing. However our experience is showing up in this moment doesn't need to be a problem. We don't need to make it wrong. There's a lovely story about Ajahn Chah, who's quite a famous Thai forest monk. And one of his monks was a very ardent practitioner. He'd always sit longer. He was always out practicing, doing walking meditation. You might think, in a way, he was actually pushing himself quite hard. And he got very ill. So ill, in fact, that he had to stop practicing and was bedridden in the hospital for quite a period of time. And Ajahn Chah went to see him. And he was grumbling and complaining about his situation. At one point he said to Ajahn Chah, "It shouldn't be like this." And Ajahn Chah said, "If it shouldn't be like this, it wouldn't be like this." So it's that invitation to actually move away from shoulds and shouldn'ts, to actually meeting how our experience is showing up in the moment. From this attitude of welcoming, of allowing, of kindness and care. Rumi puts it like this in his poem, The Guest House. "The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in." So can we open to receiving our experience as it shows up? We don't need to go looking for problems, looking for things to solve, but just meet our experience as it appears. The times of ease and relaxation and the times of struggle and difficulty, all of them welcome to be met with this attitude of care and kindness. The awareness that knows agitation and dullness is not itself agitated or dull. The awareness that knows struggle and distress is not itself struggling or distressed. When we're aware of and knowing our experience, we're creating that space in which it can be held and met. And we can find the possibility of an appropriate response. A response that can bring some ease, some releasing of the struggle, some kindness and care. An attitude that meets ourselves as we are, with compassion. So the invitation really today is to give attention to how you are relating to your experience and to really invite in this attitude of care and kindness, to really cultivate this as a ground from which to meet our experience and as a way of actually starting to release some of that struggle we have with life, so that we can start to find some peace and ease in the midst of whatever it is we are meeting in our lives. And this really is something we can bring with us from retreat into our everyday lives. That attitude of care for and kindness towards however we're showing up in any moment. So we're going to have a period of stillness practice together. Just, does anyone have any questions about the instructions and what it is we're inclining the mind towards cultivating today? If you want to take a moment or two to stand up, stretch the body, and just so the invitation is to really sense into what posture is going to be most supportive for you right now. Whether that's sitting on a chair or on the floor, standing meditation, or whether the lying down posture is going to be most helpful, most supportive. So settling into your posture. And just tuning into how you can start to embody a sense of alertness, of wakefulness in this posture. While at the same time finding that sense of relaxation and ease. and scanning down through the body to invite a softening, a releasing as much as possible of any tension or holding around the eyes, the jaw, the neck and the shoulders, just allowing the shoulders to drop down and open out, opening up the heart center. Inviting a softening around the heart, the upper back. The lower back and the belly. And also checking in on the hands and the legs. Grounding the attention in one of the contact points, feet or lower legs, sitting bones or buttocks. If you're lying down, it might be the back or the hands. Whatever feels most comfortable and most accessible. And feeling into the support of the earth. Sense of stability, of balance. And being clear what your anchor is, opening up the attention to that anchor. So the whole body breathing, or to the sounds, or to loving kindness. Inviting an attitude of friendliness, kindness and care. Welcoming your experience however it shows up, moment by moment. So as you change posture, letting go of stillness form, can you maintain a continuity of attention, of mindfulness? Start to notice what happens in those times when we move from one set of conditions to another, from stillness practice to movement meditation, from formal practice to informal eating or resting meditation. What does the mind do in those times of change and movement? So now we have an opportunity for movement meditation. And for some of you, this will be formal walking meditation. It's the invitation to find your path, 10 or 15 paces long. And just at the beginning of the path, just taking a few moments to center, to ground, to connect. And then exploring what pace what pace will support presence? Do we need to slow down a slow pace? Maybe just a normal walking pace. Or maybe we need to walk a bit faster just to get a bit of energy flowing. So feel free to experiment and explore what's supportive. And the invitation is to walk outside and open the senses a bit to the natural world, to the trees, birds. Allow that to nourish you as part of the practice. But also for some of us, walking meditation might not be appropriate due to our particular circumstances. So the invitation is to bring movement, so some more complexity into our practice. So we could do that in the hall here, or we might find a bench outside where again we can sit and actually just introduce some movement into sitting. So it might be a case that we just mimic walking by gently just lifting alternate feet off the ground. Or we might just move our hands. Again, we might just alternate the movement of hands. But just bringing some movement into the practice as a way of bringing a bit more complexity into the practice, a bit more that we have to bring into awareness as a bridge to more of what our daily life is like. So really using the opportunity to continue this meeting ourselves with kindness and with care, with taking care of ourselves and our needs, whether that's walking meditation, bringing movement into sitting or lying down practice, or whether actually what's really going to nourish us at this moment is just to get a cup of tea and to sit outside in the garden and just really allow ourselves to be nourished and resourced by the natural world.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.